Okay. Open up your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13, and we're going to continue on with our relationship with the Holy Spirit. You know, we're going to touch on some things that confuse a lot of people, and it shouldn't be that way. But if you rightfully divide the word of truth, you can see it for what it is and understand it and actually have a much more deeper, fuller relationship with the Holy Spirit. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13, we see that we are sealed unto redemption, which is eternal life, by the Holy Spirit, if we have ever given our lives to the Lord Jesus. It says, in whom also, after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. So it's plain that the Holy Spirit of Jesus indwells us, imparting his life to our dead spirits at the moment we commit our lives to him. We are born of the Spirit of God, according to John chapter 3, verse 3. When you get born again, that's what happens. The Holy Spirit comes into your spirit. It's not the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It doesn't have anything to do with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It just means you got Holy Spirit inside you. You know, the Bible tells us he quickens our mortal bodies. You know, when we get born again, his spirit comes into us and quickens our mortal bodies. Makes us alive. Our spirits alive. Now we understand why we are alive unto God now. The disciples, before Jesus left, before he ascended, he breathed on them and said, receive the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. That was in a born again sense. That was not the baptism of the Holy Spirit. One of the most frustrating things, I guess, for me, I try to share the Holy Spirit with people, and I run into people and they say, I've got Holy Spirit. And I said, really? So when did you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit? When I got born again. No. They say, I got the Spirit when I got born again. I said, yeah, you got the Spirit when you got born again, but you didn't get the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But a lot of people stall out right there. Praise God they got born again. But there's another step. And then there's another step. And then there's more steps. We're going to keep learning about Jesus. I promise you, we're not ever going to learn it all. I don't care how smart we are, but we're going to keep learning. The biggest thing is not to think that we know it all. Not to get the idea that we've got it all. There's always going to be more learning. There's always going to be more growing. We just have to be open to it. In Acts chapter 1, verses 5 and 8, it tells us, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. And then in 8 it says, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. So now, right there, Jesus was talking to people that he breathed on, said, receive the Holy Spirit. Now, if they had received everything they needed, why would he be telling them about this? Yes, you get the Spirit when you get born again, but you don't get the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That's a different act. That's a whole different encounter. And if a lot of people, especially the charismatics and Word of Faith people, would get a hold of this verse right here. It says, "You shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth." There's some circles. You run into some people and you think that they're convinced that God restored the baptism of the Holy Spirit to the church so they could speak in tongues and get goosey bumpy feelings and run around in church. That's not what it was about. He wanted you endued with power so that you could go out there and be witnesses unto his resurrection. So that you could go out there and minister to people. One of the things one lady brought up to me one time, she said, "I'm a charismatic and I want to see the gifts of the Holy Spirit working in the church." So do I. I want to see the gifts of the Holy Spirit working in the church. Not necessarily in the building, but in the church. That means when the church grabs it and goes out into the mission field, they can operate in the gifts of the Holy Spirit out there to people that really need the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Unfortunately, there's an Old Testament mentality in the church today where Christians are sitting in the pews waiting for the pastor to give them a word of knowledge or a word of wisdom or something, a word from God, give them something. When God is focused on trying to get you to hear Him for yourself. See, in the Old Testament, they used to have a priest or a prophet to come give them a message from God. Or sometimes an angel would show up and talk to somebody, you know, like Gideon, give him a message. Different encounters. But it was always somebody else telling you what God had to say. When God got Jesus to the cross, He fixed all of that. He gave us the ability to go into His presence and hear Him for ourselves. Then we take the gifts of the Holy Spirit to the streets where they're needed. In these verses, I want you to notice the word upon, which Jesus used. This is a separate experience from being born again. From the He has power to witness to the lost world about Jesus. When the Spirit comes upon a child of God, then He has power to witness to a lost world. Notice that word upon. I mean, comes up, out of you, and on you. Then that anointing falls on you. Then you're anointed to go out there into the mission field. You notice Jesus told them to wait here until you receive the promise of the Father. Now, there's a lot of people that are getting out in the mission field, but they didn't bother to get the baptism of the Holy Spirit before they went. And it's kind of a curious thing. I've talked to a lot of different missionaries. And you can pick up on the ones that are Spirit-filled because they come back, they're excited. Number one, they're excited. Number two, they're telling you about all these cool things that God's doing out there. They never ask you for money. Have you noticed that? And then the ones that aren't baptized in the Holy Spirit, they come back. They talk about how hard it was. They talk about what a challenge it was. And then they ask you to support them. One time I talked to a guy that had been on the mission field, and he's talking about what a hard thing it was. And I said, you need the baptism of the Holy Spirit. He said, you know, I can see that in the Bible, but we don't believe that. There's people that will follow their church doctrine over the Word of God, no matter what. That's not a good place to be. They believe what men tell them to believe instead of what the Bible tells them to believe. That's a sad place to be. I actually had one lady tell me one time, because a certain scripture came up, and she said, well, we don't believe unless the conference tells us to believe that scripture. We don't. Are you serious? Honestly, really put that much trust in a human being? But they do. And that's why we got people running around that swear it's absolutely okay to have gay pastors, and it's okay to have abortions, and it's okay to just live a life of debauchery. They didn't get that idea from the Holy Spirit. Look in Acts chapter 2, verse 41, I believe it is. I'll make sure. Yeah. Acts chapter 2, we find out that after the apostles received this gift, about 3,000 souls were saved, or spirits. But this experience of the Holy Spirit is for all believers, not just the original disciples. Notice there was a lot of people in that upper room. And the women got the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The young people that were there got the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The old people, they all got the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Not just a special 11. Not just a special few. They all got it. In the very first sermon that Peter preached, when he stepped out on his steps, 3,000 people got born again. Isn't that cool? It's an odd thing. If you look back in the Bible, on the day that God gave the law to the Israelites, 3,000 or 3,500 people died. See, the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. So you can see those stark contrasts between the law and the Spirit. We're to live our life in the Spirit, where we've been placed. Relying on the Holy Spirit takes practice. We get in the Word, and that's how we learn how to be led by the Holy Spirit. Turn over to Luke chapter 24, verse 29. That we must have this power to live for Him. He told His disciples to wait for it. He knew their labors for Him would be ineffective without it. He said, and behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. So the Holy Spirit was poured out when Jesus was glorified. We don't have to wait on Him. He's now waiting on us. There's a lot of people that got this idea that they're waiting on the baptism of the Holy Spirit. All you have to do is receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. He's waiting on us. There's one thing you need to understand. God has freely given us all things with Christ Jesus. So if there's anybody waiting, it's God waiting for us to receive it. Because He's already given it to us. Our job is just to receive it. Now, if you don't ever sit in an environment where you're hearing about a certain subject, you're not going to know about it, and you're probably not going to receive it. You know, there's some people that sit in churches all their life, and they don't believe that it's God's will to heal you. They think when you get to heaven, that's when you get healed. That somehow their sickness is going to glorify God. That's just crazy. But they get taught along these lines. I see these weird little idiosyncrasies almost every day. Somebody will pass away and one of their relatives will say that their loved one got their wings today. You know, you don't get to be, you don't turn into an angel when you leave your body. That would be a demotion. And then people will try to justify how God took their baby so that that baby wouldn't have to go through the challenges of living a life of sin. God is not the thief. He's not the killer. He's not the destroyer. But pastors will tell people that in a way to try to make them feel better. That's crazy. They're not rightfully dividing the word of truth. Just as the disciples on the day of Pentecost were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance, we can and will speak in a new tongue after the Holy Spirit comes upon us. The Holy Spirit will also give us utterance. The gifts of the Spirit, as listed in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, become operative in our lives. Once you get the baptism of the Holy Spirit, those gifts are available to you. All of them. All of them. Not just one or two, but all of them. It's up to us to be willing to yield to Holy Spirit so that He can do what He needs to do through us. The Holy Spirit empowers us to be doers of the Word, not hearers only. He wanted us, see, he told us to go into all the world and preach the gospel. Cast out devils, speak in other tongues, lay hands on the sick, and they would recover. Since he told us that, then it would be up to him to empower us to do that. And that's what he did when he sent the baptism, made the baptism of the Holy Spirit available to us. False teaching on the baptism of the Holy Spirit has caused more damage, I think, than anything probably could. False teaching from the pulpits. False teaching from other believers. The first time I was reading the Bible, and I was born again, but I didn't know much. I was reading about the Holy Spirit, and I thought, well, maybe I need this baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I ran into a lady at the post office, and she said, how you doing? I said, well, I think I'm all right, but I think I need this. I showed her, and she said, you need that. So she called three or four of her buddies, and they all come running down there to the house. They said, come over here, you know. So they come over there, and they got in a circle and said, you know, I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I've been chasing the devil ever since. And I thought, lady, I don't want no more to do with him. And then they all just started speaking in tongues. And I sat there and I thought, what on earth did I get myself into? And I boogied on out of there, and I didn't have anything to do with the Holy Spirit for a long time. By the grace of God, he got me to read the Bible, and I got back in there seeing where I definitely needed the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So I went to a friend of mine who's a pastor that come out of a Pentecostal church, ended up being an Assembly of God preacher. And I asked him, I said, what about this? And he said, yeah, you need that. So he helped me through that process to get the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But it's when people do crazy, stupid things in front of people that haven't received the baptism of the Holy Spirit that shuts them people down. One John chapter 4 verse 17 tells us that as he is, so are we in this world. Jesus received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Did you know that Jesus never did one single miracle until he received the baptism of the Holy Spirit? And I really liked how this whole deal went down. The Bible tells us that God was pleased with him. So Jesus was in right standing with God. We know that without faith it is impossible to please God. We know that he was a righteous man. He was in right standing with God. And then he got baptized in water, and then he got the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now, what happens to you when you get born again? The minute you get born again, you become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I mean, you're in right standing with God. And God is pleased with you because you used your faith to get born again. The faith that he gave you to get born again. And that pleases him. Now, as a righteous man, you can go and receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The same way Jesus did. Then you become a little anointed one, a Christian. You know, in Luke chapter 4, verse 18 and 19, Jesus stood in his own hometown synagogue and quoted, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." Now, if Jesus needed the Holy Spirit upon his earthly life, anointing him to perform the works which he did, how much more must we have him upon our lives in order that we can keep the full commandments of our Lord? When you notice, when you look at that account of Jesus, he's talking about receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit. He said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor." Everything was about helping somebody else. It seems like a lot of people want to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit so they can help them. Well, you're going to be set free too, but the most important thing that's on God's heart is you getting out there and helping somebody else. That's why he gives you the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Not so you get a goosey, bumpy feeling in praise and worship, or you can sit in your living room and shout hallelujah and pray in tongues. Praying in tongues is great. Shouting hallelujah is great. But he gave you the endowment of power to go out into the mission field and set people free. That's what it's all about. Everything about Jesus is about setting somebody free. Everything about the Holy Spirit is about setting somebody free. We need to make sure that we don't get that inverted. Then we'll be like the Dead Sea. You won't be like the Sea of Galilee, where that stuff comes in and goes out. In the Sea of Galilee, it's kind of interesting. In the Sea of Galilee, I can't remember how many, like 25, 26, 7 different species of fish live in that sea. But the water comes in and the water goes out. In the Dead Sea, there's salt. I guess they found some kind of microbes that might live in there, maybe. But the water comes in, there's no water going out. You might call the Dead Sea an inverted sea. He wants us to be like the Sea of Galilee, where we got an open stream coming in, but an open stream going out. And it's full of life. And it sustains a lot of people. That's how you become like the tree that's planted by the rivers of living water. Letting him coming in so you can let it flow out. We better stop there. We're not going to get any farther on this. Thank you, Father, for your words. We praise you in the name of Jesus. We thank you for everything that you do for us. And we thank you for Holy Spirit, who is always here to teach us and guide us. He's always here to show us how to rightfully divide your word of truth. He's always here to keep us powered up to a special anointing, so that we can be of use in your kingdom out in the mission field, which is outside that door where we spend 99% of our time, out there amongst the people. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen.